You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Sometimes stories on the front page of a newspaper surprise us. Earlier this year, the New York Times announced the results of a nationwide survey. The survey indicated that a growing segment of our population now feels more positive and upbeat about the future of our society than they have in many, many years. It's great to hear such a report. The problem is, however, not everyone feels a part of this surging optimism. I recently spoke with a distraught and despairing housewife. Her husband left her for another woman. The two children, victims of their father's sinful irresponsibility, are now failing in school. They used to get A's and B's, but now it's D's and F's. Obviously, this fractured family is not sharing in the new optimism alleged by the survey report on the front page of the New York Times. Other families staggering under medical bills, laden with living expenses, burdened with high mortgages, and suffering under usury-type loan payments. These families also are not part of the alleged surging celebrations of success either. From people I have spoken with and from numerous letters I have recently received, I know for a fact that there are many people with anxious hearts and burdened lives. In their darker hours, they doubt whether they will even make it in this life. In these hours when all seems hopeless, on days when life seems only to be one problem after another, then let us be encouraged by the psalmist who said, "I would have despaired except that I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Oh yes, let King David the psalmist, who experienced more heartbreak, more failure, and more disappointment than most all of us, let him speak the words which have given hope and strength and encouragement to millions of discouraged individuals over the past centuries. "Wait for the Lord," David says. "Be strong and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for the Lord. This is sound advice for burdened hearts of the 20th century. It comes from King David. He was an individual who had experienced the trials of life firsthand. David grew up on his father's farm. He was a simple shepherd boy. During his youth, the Philistines invaded Judah, and young David rose to the challenge of defending his country. With a simple hand sling and five small stones, David approached Goliath, a giant clothed in protective armor. The famous battle took place. David swung his sling. The stone found its target. The giant fell to the ground, and young David became a national hero. But his new fame was short-lived. It became a disguised curse. King Saul now feared young David. He was afraid that this heroic shepherd boy would eventually take away his kingdom. Consequently, problems in David's life now begin to erupt. Saul tried to kill David with a spear, yet the murder plot failed, and so Saul reduced David in military rank and power. Saul's daughter, the one he promised David for a wife, was given to another man. A second death plot was tried without success. Now, if you think you have problems in your life, then consider David. Everywhere he turned, he was cut off or his life was threatened. Later in his years, and sustained by God's grace, protection, and mercy, David could confess, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for the Lord. David knew from experience that God will come to the aid of all who have patience and wait upon their gracious God. Now, as David fled his murderous pursuer, surely there were moments of despair. What had he done to deserve all this, he must have thought? Nothing. In fact, David was being chased and his life was at stake because of a good deed he had performed. For being a nice guy and for ending up a national hero, he was now being driven like a helpless rabbit pursued by hungry dogs. Oh, at this hour, can you identify with David? Have you ever been cursed because of a good deed you performed? Have you ever helped someone only to have this same individual turn against you? In your work or in your home, have you ever been hassled about things that you actually never did? David knew firsthand what harassment and being deceived was all about. You know someone else who knows even more about all of this than David did? Jesus. Yes, Jesus never committed a sin. He had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Jesus had never hurt anyone, and he had never even gossiped about one single individual in his entire life. That's hard for us to believe, isn't it? Especially when gossip columnists and gossip commentators are featured and even promoted daily on radio and television and in the newspapers. You see, in spite of Jesus' love and mercy, he was despised and rejected. Jesus was cut off out of the land of the living. His grave was assigned with wicked men. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, we read, "He came to his own. Those who were his own did not receive him. Even those Jesus came to help, and even those Jesus came to save, they turned him away." And now let's pay real close attention as we consider this. David and Jesus both experienced malicious treatment, but it was for totally different reasons. David's persecution came from the sinful jealousy and the envy of another man. Jesus' suffering, however, resulted from God the Father's love for you and me. That's what I said. Jesus' suffering resulted from God the Father's love for you and me. The prophet Isaiah says, "But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself, if Jesus would render himself as a guilt offering for our sins." With this announcement of God's redeeming love made by the prophet Isaiah centuries before the Son of God became a man, what wonderful words Jesus later spoke as he confirmed, "I have not come to be served, but to serve," and then Jesus said, "to give my life as a ransom for many." A ransom is normally a payment offered by someone to buy back or redeem someone else. Kidnappers usually use this to extort money from innocent people. But you see, the innocent blood of Jesus Christ, the highest payment in the whole world, was offered to buy every one of us back from sin and eternal hell, and to be God's very own. Jesus did not confuse people by making unclear statements. His mission was very clear. His innocent life, which he voluntarily offered upon the cross, was a bloody, sin-cleansing sacrifice for your sins and mine. It is precisely then, as the Bible teaches, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all of our sins. Oh, my friend, you see, God the Father, in his unexplainable grace, designed all of this. God arranged for your salvation through the substitutionary death of his only Son. Oh, what love, as Jesus embarked on his mission of rescue and redemption, God the Father announced, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Then later at the terrible crucifixion, he accepted the death of his only Son as a complete payment for your sins and failures and for mine. The prophet Isaiah states, "With the terrible suffering and the death of his only Son, for your sins and mine, the heavenly Father, God, then was satisfied. The sacrifice has been made. The payment for your sins is complete. The agony in your conscience over your past sins need never haunt you again." Confess then your failure to your heavenly Father in prayer, and ask him also for his power to fight off all future temptations. And don't forfeit your salvation. Believe and trust in the saving power of Jesus' death and resurrection. Just knowing the historical facts won't save you. You must believe that these actually happened and that Jesus Christ died for your sin. Trust completely then in the cleansing blood of Jesus, in Jesus Christ. Start a new life and a new day. Turn over a new leaf and rejoice in this new start. Never again look back. Never again look back. Yes, King David knew the goodness of the Lord, but he also understood something our present generation has an extremely difficult time accepting. In his advice to you today, the psalmist, inspired by God, says, "Wait. Wait on the Lord." This means have patience and God will indeed help you. This also means that God fully understands your situation. He knows exactly how you feel. And yet, in order for God to do what is best for you and your family, this must be at a time that he decides. Our impatience is further caused by trends of our present society. Instantly. That's how we want everything. Some years ago, people laboriously went to the front of their car to crank the engine. Now, however, we start our automobiles by simply turning a switch. Not many years ago, laundry for housewives was a full-day affair. Most women had one day a week set aside. Now, with instant water and instant switches, most laundry is pitched into automatic machines, and we are sometimes even too lazy to pick up the dirty clothes to wash them. Several decades ago, when family photographs were taken, weeks and even months went by before the pictures were finished. Now, pictures are developed inside the camera in seconds. All of this instant living has tempted us to try to treat God the same way. When we speak, we are convinced God had better respond. And he better do it now. We want it, and we want it now. And if we do not get it now, on our own terms, like a spoiled child, we complain, God does not hear our prayers. Wait, David advises us, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. With this in mind, I would like to speak briefly then to some of you who are children and teenagers. Many of you are growing up and are living under extremely difficult conditions. In a recently published book, it was revealed that as many as 32 million children are now living in the frightening and confusing world created where at least one parent is an alcoholic. How filled with despair some of your hearts must be. Indeed, in many cases, your situation cannot be immediately changed or improved. But always remember, don't be discouraged. In your most difficult hours, remember David. And remember how he too was a child and the difficulties he had. He is God's example for you today. As a youth, David did his best. For a good deed, he was chased and hunted like a dog. Another jealous man wanted to kill him. And yet he knew that his help was in the Lord. He would have to wait, but help would indeed come. And help did come. In Psalm 61 we read, Thou hast heard my vows, O God, and so I will sing praise to thy name forever. Help will come to you also today. Wait on the Lord, David says. Wait on the Lord, and he will help you. You children and teenagers, I know how difficult it sometimes may seem, but please love and respect your parents. Even in their mistakes, do your very best to help them. Many parents today are victims of popular trends. The executive producers of the public broadcasting service series entitled Your Children, My Children stated that there is an anti-child spirit loose in our land. This means that the devil is convincing many parents to dislike or even to disown their own flesh and blood, their own children. At such times, remember also the promise from God for you recorded in the Bible, which states, O my God of salvation, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Just imagine, even though your parents at this hour may not love you, even though they may reject you, God still loves you. You are his. Just have patience. Wait upon him. Trust in God, and he will indeed bless you. He will turn your worries into joy and your tears into smiles. Now let me tell you about a man who is 93 years old. I've known him for many years. When he was a child, his mother died. And because he could not care for his children, this father placed these children into an orphanage. The man then grew up without his parents. He was so sad to lose his mother and his father. Life seemed so terribly cruel and hopeless. Then one day, a kind and caring pastor told him how God loves him. He explained how Jesus died to save him. This good news of Jesus Christ changed his entire life. He became a missionary and has served God for many, many years with great joy. Your situation may be the same. Your parents may have rejected you. And yet the Bible teaches God loves you in a special way. Jesus is your Savior from sin. He is your helper. He will always be your friend, even when others forget you. And so, my friend today, no matter what your age, remember David. He waited on the Lord, and God did indeed help him. So today, wait on the Lord. God will help you. He will rescue you. He will transform your dark days of despair by the brilliant eternal light of His only Son. And may God so establish you to live today in this glorious confidence. Amen.